Gracious Father, we're thankful people, Lord, to have this privilege to come together to worship Thee in spirit and truth. And knowing the importance of communion, Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to come and to wash our brothers and sisters' feet and to partake of the bread and the breaking of the bread and of the wine, Father, which represents the body of Your Son, Jesus, and the shed blood in which He laid down His life for us. And so, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we had such an older brother who was willing to do so for us, and knowing that You dwelt in him, Father, but yet You left him when it came time to bear forth of that sacrifice. And You left him, Father, in the garden, and You weren't there for him, Father, when he was taken captive and when he was nailed to the cross, and before, when he was the crown of thorns was placed upon his brow and his back was whipped. You weren't there, Father, and we recognize that it was because of Your love for us that You weren't there for Your only begotten Son. And so it grieves us in our heart, Lord, to know that our older brother had to suffer these things on our behalf, and we're so grateful, Father, for all the wonderful things that He did for us. And so we pray, Father, that You would help us, Lord, to lay aside our own thinking, to lay aside our own thoughts, Lord, and to humbly surrender ourselves to the foot of the cross, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening we would like to continue in our study of the book of Romans, and our study is on the attitude of Christ that we began actually last Sunday. Therefore, this evening, our focus will be on point number 2 of the 5 points concerning the attitude of Christ. We began last Sunday examining point number 1, which is the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. That's a quote from Brother Branham. He said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And he told us the right mental attitude was to say, it is thus saith the Lord. But the expression of those thoughts, what we found is that an attitude is not just some mental thoughts that you have about something. In other words, it doesn't have to do with what's in here, but it has to do with what's in your soul. And it has to do with the expression coming forth from your soul in body language, in the way you act, the way that your body expresses itself. Now, in other words, your attitude is an outward manifestation, or shall we say an expression of an expression of our body as a true indication or a true indicator or reflector of what is going on in the recesses of your soul. Therefore, there are 5 points that we must consider when we think of our attitude and how it either reflects the attitude of Christ or it doesn't. Number 1, I want to show you what having the right mental attitude is, and we actually covered that last Sunday. Number 2, I want to show you what the right mental attitude will produce for you. Number 3, I want to show you why we must have the right mental attitude. And 4, I want to show how our mental attitude affects those around us. And 5, I want to show how a wrong attitude can cripple our walk and the walk of those that we have influence over. Now, to begin with, we must first know what a right mental attitude is. And in order to know what the right mental attitude is, we must first understand what an attitude is. And so, as we did Sunday, we read from Webster's Dictionary, where he defines attitude as aptness. In other words, when we use the word apt, we say he's apt to do something. And that word apt means they're leaning in that direction. You see, the Bible says, as a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. So if I'm leaning in this direction, you give me a little push, I'm over. So your attitude then reflects the direction in which you're going. Okay? Or he says an inclination. That's the same thing. Inclination comes from the root word of what? Incline. All right? So the word incline means the same thing. It means you're leaning. The tree's inclined. See, that's the incline of a hill. All right, so that's the way it leans. And he further states the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action. So Webster defines an attitude as an aptness or an inclination, he further states the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, a feeling, or a mood. So why is it then that parents can say, you better change your attitude, young lady or young man? It's because there's something the kid did, whether it's rolling the eyes whether it's sticking the nose up in the air. It's an outward expression that showed there was something going on in here. A rebellion of some sort going on here. That's why Mama says, you better change your attitude, you see? And you say, well, what did I do? I didn't say anything. Right? No, but you rolled your eyes. Or, you know, you threw your nose up. Or whatever the gesture was. And so Webster is saying that an attitude is actually an expression. It's an expression of our feelings. It's an expression of our emotions. But it comes by via the body. It's the body language. All right? Now, the word attitude is also defined, his second definition, is a manner of acting, a manner of feeling or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. It shows. Notice the word, the key is there, it shows. It shows. That means it's outwardly visible. Now, what we're talking about is if we receive the attitude of Christ, then our bodies will be a manifestation of the thoughts of Christ. You see, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And that word mind is a word phronio, and it means a attitude. Let this attitude, which was in Christ, let this expression come out in your body, the same expression that came out in His body. Okay? The first stating that attitude is, all right, so both of these definitions show, one says position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, feeling, or mood, and the other says that a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows, in other words, outwardly expresses one's opinion or disposition. Therefore, and if you caught the main points in each of these definitions, the first stating that attitude is a posture, and the second using the word shows, both of them then express to us or convey to us that this an attitude is just not something that you're thinking. It's just not your thoughts. Because remember, Satan will come over and like a bird, as Martin Luther had said, and Brother Brown quoted him, and he'll place thoughts in your mind, but he said, just don't let him make a nest. But the attitude is something which goes beyond just the thought. The attitude goes into the body action, into the body expression. In other words, the body is taking on the opinion. The body is taking on the assessment, the glory, you see, and it's expressing it. So we're looking at the position of our body or the posture of the body and those attitudes or attributes that show when you're thinking, feeling, or expressing your mood. Therefore, attitude is not just a mental cognizance or a mental understanding or a mental leaning, but rather attitude is an outward expression of our disposition. It is an outward expression of our feelings. It is an outward expression of our thoughts. It is the connection of the body to those thoughts and how the body expresses those thoughts. That's what attitude is. And the key, as I mentioned, is that the word shows how we feel. It shows just what you think about something. The Bible tells us that God would send forth an angel to mark those that would sigh and cry because of the abominations done in the city. The sighing and crying is in the bodies, or is the body's response to what's being done in the city. You see, when you're sorrowful in your soul, you can't help but weep. You can't help but the body. You know, somebody comes up and says, well, you know, why are you so quiet? What's wrong? First thing out of their mouth, what's wrong? Well, how can you tell? There's something about your body. There's something radiating from your body. There's something about your body that tells me something's wrong. That's when you become living epistles. It's when your body is living out the Word of God. You see? We've been talking about this for some time now, and the Lord is increasingly giving us an understanding of how these bodies are, like when Brother Brad said, when word is piled upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of your body. So you can't help but to act as God would want you to act. It's not you're saying, well, up here mentally I'm working on this thing and now how would Jesus do that? You know, like the slogan, you know, what would Jesus do? But there's something in your soul that causes the body to respond positively, negatively, depending on if it's God's Word or other than God's Word. You see? So your attitude then shows outwardly what you're thinking inwardly. And you cannot hide an attitude. It shows It manifests. You might be able to hide your thoughts, but an attitude goes beyond inner thoughts. Attitude speaks of the expression of the disposition. The way that you show it in your body language, in your eyes, in your facial expression, in your tone of voice, and in your posture. Let me just maybe use an illustration. I could look at my wife and I could say, I love you. Or I could say, bang! Or I could say, I love you. Now, two of those, she'd probably get upset. And one of them, she'd say, yeah, that's nice. You see, it was other than the words that were said. It was the expression, maybe the sound of anger, or the sound of a nice sweetness, or a sound of kind of a mockery. You see, our expression, the way we say things, the way we do things, the actions that we have, they're an expression of what goes on in here. So it's not the mental thought. It's not the, you know, saying, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, what is your body doing about it? You see? How is your body? Is your body truly expressing you have faith, or is your body not expressing that you have faith? Remember, James said, faith without works is dead. People didn't understand that. But Brother Branham said, works is faith expressed. So what is the body doing to express the revelation? And that's attitude. Let this attitude which was in Christ be in you. Therefore, attitude is the expression of your opinion. It's the expression of your disposition. Now, the word disposition comes from two words, dis and position. Together, they speak of the putting in order, and they refer to the normal aspects of one's nature. Therefore, what we see in attitude is the disposition or the setting in order or the outward reflection of one's true nature. Now, last Sunday we showed point number one. What is the right, which said the right mental attitude toward any divine providence, God will bring it to pass. And so the question was, what is the right mental attitude? Well, to have the right mental attitude means that you must first have to have the right thoughts about whatever the object of thinking is. And that means that you must have the right opinion, and there is only one right opinion, and that's God's opinion. So we're talking about doxa. You see, because before an attitude, which is an expression in the body, can take place, in order for the right attitude to take place, you've got to have the right thoughts. And that's where the Word of God comes in. That's where God's doxa, His glory, His opinion, His assessment. What does God think about it? Because His thoughts are not our thoughts, for His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we are to have a right thinking about anything, it must be God's thoughts or what He thought about it. And in order to know what God's thoughts are about anything, it must come through the instrument of His Word. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right now, notice then, in 1 Corinthians 2, we read last week that he says, you know, that, how can you know what a man thinks unless you have the spirit of man? And it says, but then how can you know the things of God unless the spirit of God be in you? You see? So we're talking about new birth. We're talking about new birth. What does it do? It first begins a change in the mind. Brother Branham said the new heart is a new thinking. Then he says it gives you a new desire. And the new desire then is that link. It's that critical thing that brings the body in action. Remember, the Bible says there remaineth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, faith, we know, is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation. Then what is love? It's an outward expression. So hope is a little trigger that takes it from faith and moves it into the body. All right? Therefore, if we are to have the right attitude, then we must have the attitude that was in Christ. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the word mind here has the same Greek word phronio, which was used for the word like-minded. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. That's the key that Paul is bringing to us here. And it's a gift from God that only those whom God chooses can receive that gift. And we've we covered that quite a bit about a month ago. Notice Paul says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And notice then that it is according to Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So we see that God has given us a gift to be like-minded, and not only to be like-minded, but like-minded towards one another. And notice he tells us according to Christ Jesus. Now the only way that we can be like-minded is if we have the same mind. So he's telling us here that the same thing that he's telling us in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, he's saying, let it be in you. Okay? And we know this can only come as God has ordained it to come. In John 1 and verse 12, he says, but as many as received him, and the word received is a Greek word lambano, which means to take to oneself. As many as received him, to them gave he power. To them gave he the ability to become sons of God, to express that you are. Because John said, brethren, we're already sons. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shows us how to do it, when he shows us by expressing himself, and he did in the man Jesus, and he did in the man William Branham. And so when God came and manifested himself in a body of sinless flesh, and he did the same thing in a body of sinful flesh, he's saying that he's going to do it in your sinful flesh as well. And this is the process. All right? Now, okay, now that we have the right mental attitude, and we know what it is, that it is the expression of God's opinion living itself and expressing itself in our body, the next thing that we must look at is point number 2, and I want to show you tonight what the right mental attitude will produce. From I am the resurrection, Brother Branham said, it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you what you ask for. Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right here, Brother Bose, and punch that for just about a half hour, but I can't do it. Your attitude. God can send a gift, and no matter what you do, it depends on what attitude you take toward it. Look at them who smote him his face, and they spit on him and everything. There was no virtue there. But a woman that believed the word touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Is that right? All right. It depends on what you think about it. God sends it. It's your attitude towards any divine gift. It determines what you get out of it. You mean to say that God himself can be on the scene and you couldn't get anything from it? That's absolutely right. And you say it's your attitude toward God being on the scene that you're going to get something? Absolutely right. Well, I believe that, Brother Branham. He said, that's only being able to read. He said, it's your attitude, not your thoughts. Your attitude. And what is your attitude? It's the expression that comes forth from your body, the body language that you express toward God. Now, I could be on my knees and weeping and wailing and crying out before God. Or I could say, what's up, Doc? Hey, Big Daddy-O, you think I'm going to get anything? Hey, God, hey, Big Daddy-O, you think I'm going to get anything from my God? No, sir. It's the attitude. It's the expression. The Bible says, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. From proving his word, Brother Ram said, but before we can pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman, touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes, and that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the result. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. Well, let's look at the attitude of some people in the Old Testament. Well, to do that, let's go to Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's earnestly expected. But it's the evidence of things that you can't even see. Faith is the evidence of things that you can't even see. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, visible, shown, were made by things which do not appear. Or which do appear, excuse me. Which were made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He just didn't talk about it. He didn't say, well, I apply the token. You know, I'm a real message believer. And I'm going to talk this message, and I'm going to talk it, the doctrine, and I'm going to talk all this stuff. No, it says Abel offered to God. He offered to God. He did something. His body expressed by cutting the throat of the lamb. And he offered back blood to God because it was blood that was mixed that caused a sin. And so faith, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, by which he obtained witness. Now, how do you witness somebody's thoughts? Can you witness thoughts? Well, you know, I was standing in the room, and I'm sure that he was thinking those things anyway. No. But if you're a witness, you say, I saw what you did. I heard what you did. Right? So we're talking about then witness. How can you be witness of thoughts? You know, it's too long a time that we've been saying, well, you know, if I could just have the doxa, if I could just have the doxa. We've known about the doxa since 82. We've known about having the mind of God since 82. But what about the body? Because, you know, I'm not too worried about my soul, whether it's in this body or whether it's in that other dimension. It's going to be just the same. It's not affected. Brother Bram said, it's not your soul that's tempted. It's the body. It's not the soul I'm worried about getting a change, a transformation to get out of here. It's already changed. And yet my body gets older every day. How many have been born again? All right, your soul's changed. Actually, it's the same soul. It's been quickened, right? So are you worried about that any longer? But there's something sitting in the pew that is. Right? Normal like you get your body change? Ron? Michael? Waiting for that body change? Well, we're talking about that tonight. We're talking about the Word of God taking over every fiber of the body through the expression of the soul. So that expression is very, very important. You know, we emphasized for years and years and years about passive faith. But there comes a time when passive faith has got to become active faith, or it wasn't passive faith to begin with. You understand what I'm talking about? All right, let's look at another one in the Bible. By faith, Enoch was translated. Well, you see, actually, he didn't go nowhere. He just, you know, in his mind, he thought he was so, you know. No, actually, the body was changed. By faith, by revelation, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before he was translated, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Michael, I have a question for you. What's your favorite dinner? Your favorite meal? Huh? What is it? Chicken soup. Okay. What's your worst thing that you don't like to eat? My cooking. Huh? What do you hate? I mean, you don't like to eat at all. Makes your stomach upset. Well, Spanish? No? Spanish-style beans? Okay. All right, now, listen. What if you come home and your wife cooks you Spanish-style beans? She has everything romantic, you know, the lights are on, and she gives you Spanish-style beans. You're not going to like it, are you? Now, what if she cooks your favorite food? You're going to like it, right? All right, now let's look at her. Okay? What if she cooks your favorite food, has a nice mood, atmosphere, she's created an atmosphere, she's put on music, candles, you know, she's set the table very nice, the boys are off camping someplace, and she sets the mood for you. You're going to like that, right? It's going to be pleasing. Now, what if you got home and you're tired and she does this all for you, you know? It's pretty refreshing. What if you got home and you're tired and she just threw a can of Spanish beans, had it on the table, uncooked, said, microwave it yourself. All right? Now, is that pleasing? No. So Enoch did something he knew. It wasn't just his thoughts. It wasn't just the fact that he was a son of God, like you and I are sons of God. It's not the fact that you're married to each other, because a lot of people are married to each other. And they think because we're stuck with each other, we're married to each other, we don't have to treat each other right. You see? But he pleased God. It was an action, not just a thought. Like Charlton Heston's wife said, you know, they said, well, you know, he's had some indiscretions in his life. He's done some things with other women. Did you ever think in all those 50 years that you're married, did you ever think of divorce? And she said, divorce never. Murder, yes, but divorce never. All right? Now, notice then that attitude is an expression of the body. Enoch did something in the body that was pleasing to God. And the Bible says he walked with God. Do you realize that every one of us have the same opportunity this evening? If you walk, what? In the light. As he is in the light, you have been given the same opportunity as Enoch. And if you do, if you express, if your attitude is the same as Enoch's, to please God while you're walking in the light, what happened to Enoch? He was translated. What's going to happen to you? A translation. Hallelujah. You see where we're coming to? Brother Branson, when the bride understands who she is, when she knows her position, she's going to go. To them that received him, that recognized, that accepted, that acted upon, to them gave he power to become, to fulfill their role as sons. Brother Rand preached the message. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word of God. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested. And it says that all that come to God must be taught and learn of God. Then they will come. So you see, there's a teaching that goes out, there's a learning that takes place, and then there's an action that follows. Let's look at another one. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went, but he kept walking. Brother Branham said he outlined the entire promised land in his walk. By faith he sojourned, that means he walked, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Notice, he walked in the light, as he is in the light. Abraham, the father of your faith, before him, Enoch. From the hour has come, Brother Branham said, now the right mental attitude, all of you here, do you understand what I mean when I say it? The right mental attitude, that's your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise, will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. Well, you say, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. Well, Brother Branham, you mean you want me to lie? No, I wouldn't confess it. If your faith is weak, Lord, help thou my weakness. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Because remember, when you're weak, he is strong. Right? He says, you say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. See? Don't let the devil know that. When you're having a difficult decision to make, because you want to follow God's word and you want this body to reflect your belief, don't let the devil know that you're weak. Don't let the devil know that you're struggling with a decision. You keep going right on. You keep walking and talking as if you are not weak. As if you are the strongest Christian there is. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. That word resist means say no to him. Remember when Brother Branham was just at the wit's end? His wife had died. His baby had died. He was trying to pull the trigger. You know, nothing went off. He tried to put his hand up there and he found himself laying down. He doesn't know how he got down the pole and how he was just laying, but something happened. And he said he was driving down the road and the devil kept saying, you know, how could you follow this God that would take your baby and take your wife and do all these horrible things to you? And he said, I begin to tell Satan his end. Do you know every time I get tempted, I mean when I really get put to the temptation or the test, I start telling Satan his end, that he's going to burn in a lake of fire. I tell him what his end is. I tell him he's got judgment coming. The stinger's already been pulled out. And you know, pretty soon, that temptation's gone. Remember the story Brother Ram told about the guy who, he said that, you know, the devil, you know, every time the devil said, boom, he got scared. He got smaller and smaller and smaller. He said, but one time he said, the devil said, boom, and he said, boom back. He said, then the devil got smaller, he got bigger. Next time the devil said, boom, he said, boom back. And he got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the devil got smaller, smaller, smaller. That's expressing an attitude. The right mental attitude is to say, it's thus saith the Lord. So no matter what the circumstance, to say, it's thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith the Lord. I have no opinion. It's either God's opinion or no opinion. You look out at all the circumstances around you. I had a good experience when I was down in Peru and I climbed that mountain. And we had some of the paths are no wider than this part of the pulpit. Some of them were this wide, but you're standing, there's 1,200 feet above you, 1,200 feet below you, and it's just straight up and down, and you're standing on a path, and you look up, and all of a sudden the knees go, and the body says, lay flat on the path. Don't go forward anymore. Don't go backward anymore. Maybe somebody will come and get you. And then the mind says, yeah, like mud they will. And I found one thing. If I didn't look out there and I kept my eyes on the path, I could go up and down anything. As long as I kept my eyes on the path. And like Brother Branham said, when they said, "Brother Branham, they're saying this about your wife. They're saying this about your mother." He said, "Oh, forget it." I said, "Well, Brother Branham, that concerns you." He said, "Look." He said, "If I was always looking to everything that everybody said, I'd always be stumbling. But," he said, "I got my eyes set on the end of the path. The end of the road," is what he said. So keep your eyes focused on the road. That shows an attitude. That shows a right mental attitude. You see, because then when things do come, back and forth, back and forth. See, the Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if I were to go, keep my eye on the path, you know? But if you keep your eye on the path, you're not double-minded. You're not looking at all the circumstances around you. You're single-focused. The Bible says, you know, if your focus be single, if your eye be single, not having one eye like a cyclops, but you're one-minded. Your thoughts are single. God, I thank you for this day because I know that you're giving me an opportunity to express sonship. Help me, Father, during the whole day, no matter what course I have, you know, no matter what people I come across today, help me to reflect your attitude, your character. No matter what my husband says, help me to be sweet and help me to have that sweet spirit in me. No matter what other people do to me, sticks and stones will break my bones, names will never hurt me. But help me to reflect. You see, it's not if I scratch your back, you scratch mine. That's not a Christian attitude. The Christian attitude is turn the other cheek. And sometimes God will just let somebody be a little bit cantankerous enough or ornery enough or whatever the case may be, that it'll test your mettle. And so then we ask ourselves, is my expression and the attitude of Christ? The other night I was standing in Lebanon and all of a sudden I heard these two guys arguing, sitting in a car and arguing about, one was probably too close to the other guy and just arguing back and forth, just like they want to get up and fight. And I thought, what's that all about? You know, people are so, their minds are so focused on their own, you know, everything's for them. There's no living for Christ anymore, hardly. You'll only see it amongst the elect. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. There remaineth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation. And love is an outward expression of your revelation. Your actions being expressed by the body of the hope that lays within. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. And verse 10. First Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll read from verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Excuse me, that's 1 Corinthians 9. Okay. Okay. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that precious in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now, if the word hope means earnest expectation, that says that he that puts his hand to the plow is doing so because he's expecting something from his efforts. How many of you go to work every time you go to work just for the pleasure of it? I'm sure Dwayne enjoys that heat. No, you do it for a paycheck. The farmer plows not because he gets his jollies out of plowing. Ho, 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 ho! Isn't this fun? Ho, 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 ho! He does it because he expects to reap. Amen? He expects a manifestation out of his earnest expectation. How about Romans 8? I'm having a lot of fun up here. This is a wonderful thing the Lord is showing us. Romans 8, how about verse 24, 25? For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So he's talking about hope, he's talking about faith, and then he's talking about things that are visible and things that are invisible. And faith is the evidence of things that are invisible. But notice there's something about faith that shows that you have a hope, and that's when it becomes love. Faith, hope, and love. You see, because faith is revelation, right? Brother Branham said faith is revelation. Hope means earnest expectation. It's something you're earnestly expecting. And love is an outward expression. I've said this many, many times in the church. A young man gets a revelation of a girl that chooses to be his bride. What does he do? Well, if it's a true revelation, it begins to build up steam within. And the steam is called hope. And he begins to earnestly expect that he and this young girl will become husband and wife. And what happens then? As that steam builds up, like Brother Branham said, he said, that's the Holy Spirit working in a person. He said, the problem with the Pentecostals is they let it out the whistle. He said, instead of putting it into the gears. But you see, in our walking, in our daily life, we get a faith, we get a revelation, and you begin to earnestly expect from that, and you begin to sow toward that. You begin to do something. It begins to work into an outward expression. And he sends candies. He sends flowers. He does things. That shows that there's love. Love is an outward expression. That's an attitude. Hate is an attitude. Hate also is an outward expression. And you don't have to do a lot of outwardly expressing to show hate. You can walk into a room and it's just as cold as ice. You know, you can walk into a room and walk up, you see somebody that's a believer, you walk up and they turn their back on you. Well, did they do that by accident? So it happens again, happens again, happens again. You say, there's an attitude there. They didn't say a thing to you. So they're clear, legally. If you know what I'm talking about, for the legalist. Well, I never said I didn't like them. I never said that, you know, I had a problem with them. I never did this. I never said that. No, but your actions showed it. You see how our actions can affect one another and our relationship with one another. Because a picture, which is an action, is worth a thousand words. You don't have to tell me you don't have a problem with me. Your life shows it. God says the same thing. He says, I call, and you turn your back on me. You see? So our bodies, the expression we're giving off, the frequency, if you want to call it that, the actions, it's all expressing whether we have the attitude of God, which is His Word, or the attitude of the world. You see? Now, from expectation, Brother Ramsey, just for a little text, if I could call it that, I want to speak for a moment or two on the word expectation. We always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God, it doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere. And if you're a Christian and defeat him on any ground that he could stand on, when Jesus was here on earth, and in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the great powers of God was in his Son, Christ Jesus. For the Scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. All things was delivered unto him, though he spoke nothing but what the Father told him. He healed no one but what he first saw being healed. For he said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. That was St. John 5:19. Now, if you read and we all pretty much know Brother Branham's life story, but you would see Brother Branham wouldn't do anything until he had a vision. Then he could say, thus saith the Lord. Then when Brother Branham waited for that hat to go on the chair, then he went to the person, he prayed for the person. He had faith. Why? Because he saw it by God. And he said, okay, now the hat's on the chair. Everything's lined up. Now I can go. Why? Now what did he do? When Brother Brown went and prayed for the person, he was expressing the attitude of God for that person. God's attitude being expressed in a man. Brother Brown said Jesus Christ was the attitude of God toward humanity. You see? What is your attitude toward one another? What is your attitude toward the sinner? You have your nose up in the air? Or do you have something in your heart crying out, God, help that person? By your attitude, Brother Brown said, the attitude you take toward a person could determine their eternal destination. Your attitude could determine their destination. Wow. Attitude's a big thing, you know that. And we're looking tonight at the results. What does attitude produce? It produces hell or it produces heaven. It produces an atmosphere. It'll produce the promises of God. It'll make manifest the promises of God. And it's your attitude that does it. The promise is already there. God already gave the promise. Stinger's already been pulled out of Calvary. Well, why aren't people getting healed? It's their attitude. Why are the people getting healed? It's their attitude. You see? It's your attitude that brings the results. In 1 John 3, he said, beloved, now are we sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. You see, it's not an outwardly expressed thing yet, but we know when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall outwardly express himself, outwardly manifest himself, we know that we shall appear. Every man that has his hope purifies himself, he's doing something. He's expressing something. He's expressing oneness with God. And so his mind is lined up with God. Now, what about your body? What about your attitude? The body posture? The way you talk? The way you act? The way your eyes or your listen? The way your nose, the position of your nose? Huh? 1 Peter 1 in verse 3. Notice. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among those who are dead. Now, that word living hope, it means a hope which has been made alive. Now, if something's been made alive, let me ask you something. If I have a little seed, and I could hold that seed in my hand, I could say, Ron, what is that seed? And unless you really understand agronomy, you would say, I don't know. And I could say, Ron, what do you think that seed is? You could say, well, I don't know. Horse feathers, you know. I have no clue what that is. But now, if I plant that, and it becomes quickened by the sun and the water, and it begins to manifest what's happening, it's become alive. And so if the Word of God has been planted in you, then it's got to produce the attitude of Christ, the outward manifestation in your body. You see? Otherwise, it hasn't become alive. It hasn't become alive. I don't care if you think you're predestinated seed or not. I don't care if you believe that you're elect or not. If it hasn't been quickened, if it hasn't manifested the attributes of Christ, it has not become quickened. You can talk it like a parrot. It doesn't do you any good. You see? From we would see Jesus, Brother Ram said, now if Mohammedan's living, let him speak. If Jesus is living, let Him speak, and you decide. Don't ever be afraid to put any divine promise of God to action. He said, don't ever be afraid to put any promise of God to action. And remember, don't never forget this quotation. Now, we got two tonight. Brother Brown said, don't you ever forget this quotation. That's the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God in this Bible will bring it to pass. Just remember that. The right attitude towards any divine promise that's written in this Bible will bring it to pass. So now just keep that on your mind. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. I remember reading or hearing Brother Bale one time talking about this young man. I'll call his name Johnny for all I know. I don't remember his name. And Brother Bale talked about he was the dullest in the family. And yet, within a year after hearing Brother Bale preach on faith, he had the best job in the family. He went from having the worst job to having the best in 1 year's time. Because he got a better job. He went out by faith and got a better job. Then, after about 3 months on that job, he said, I know I can do better. And he went out and got a better job. And he spent about 6 months on that job, and he went out and got a better job. And he had the best job in the family within about a year's time. So, I remember saying, okay, Lord, I've applied for several jobs. I was in between teaching and who knows what. I didn't know what my future was, if I was going to teach or if I was going to go into business or whatever. So I'd applied for a couple jobs at Sperry Univac. And I remember getting on my knees that morning. And I began to pray. And as I was praying, I said, God, Your Word said. And I started quoting back God's Word. I wasn't even finished with my prayer when the telephone rang. I was living at my grandma's house at the time. My parents had moved to Pennsylvania. And she called, said, telephone. I went down and it's for Univac. And they said, hang tight for about 24 hours. We have a job for you as a buyer. I said, a buyer? I applied for as an expediter, which expediter worked for the buyer. And he said, well, it's a long story. I'll tell you later. What turned out was they had to hire. I had applied for a job as an expediter. That's the only position they had open. And a black man had applied for the same job. And by law, they had to give it to the black man. But they wanted to hire me. Well, what happened over that weekend, one of the buyers went to Las Vegas, got married, decided to stay out there. Called back and said, I'm putting in my notice, I won't be back. So they called me and said, hey, we just had an opening as a buyer. Are you interested? I said, absolutely. Time and time again, you can look in your life where God has done something like that. I prayed to God for some laptops. What happens? 2 hours later, God answers the prayer. Why? Because God, if you approach Him with the right attitude, and the right attitude is to say, it's thus saith the Lord, I will do it, God. I will be the man that You will use if You would use me. I will go where You will ask me to go. No matter what hardship, no matter what toil, if You need that message delivered someplace, I'll go. And you know what? God will send you. From 1 Thessalonians. Let's see. Okay. Chapter 1. Verse 3. Let's just read 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now, what's the word of mean? Out from? It's an acronym. Your work, which is of faith, out from faith, and your labor of love, which is out from love, and your patience of hope, which is out from hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Now, the Weiss translation says, remembering unceasingly your works produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials, which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even the Father, since we know, brethren, you have always been loved by God, and at the present time are the objects of His affection, and are the subjects of the divine selection, in which God in sovereign grace selected you out for salvation. Now, I'd like to read that just in kind of 20th century language. Faith produced and shaped the character of work. And your expression of faith, coming forth as a mature, fully developed, self-sacrificial love, which is divinely inspired. That's what that verse says. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all abounds toward one another. You see an outward expression there. From Rome, the Roman nobleman, Brother Brown said, I want you to notice his attitude. He didn't approach feeling that he had it coming to him. He said he was unworthy. I want you to take that attitude also, that you cannot come with a predominating attitude and get anything from God. You must be reverent and humble, and then God will deal with you. And then you will get what you ask for. And that's the attitude that the Roman had taken. Look at his approach. His approach to the Lord Jesus. He said, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. So I felt myself I wasn't worthy to come to you. He said, just speak the word, he said. I am a man under authority, and I say to this man to come, or to this man to come, and they come, and they go, and they come. And he said, you just speak the word, and my servant will live. I want you to notice that. The Roman being under authority, that knew that whatever was under him had to obey him on his testimony, he witnessed that Jesus Christ was over all sickness. He could make sickness obey him, just the same as he could make his soldiers obey him. If one of the soldiers failed to obey him, it was a death penalty. And he recognized that same authority in Jesus over evil spirits or sickness. That's why he said, just speak the word. And that's why Jesus said, no faith has the Son of Man seen in Israel as such as this man. Notice his attitude. He believed in a sovereign God. Why are people so messed up in the message? They don't believe in a sovereign God. Why do people have problems getting prayer that's not answered? Because they don't believe God can do it. You don't believe God can save your kid, or you can do this or that. God can do anything He wants to do. Listen, He can grow a nose on your child like Pinocchio if He wants to. He can grow a donkey's tail on your son if He wants to. He's God. And certainly if He can raise up rocks to cry out, He can raise up a spirit in your son or daughter that'll cry out to God. So what you have to do is take the right approach and say, God, you can do anything with my son. Please do it for his salvation's sake. From Elijah, Brother Brown said, her attitude towards Elisha brought her the victory. If she'd have gave up to Elisha, if she'd have went up to Elijah and said, now, you looky here, you hypocrite. My pastor was right after all, see? If she'd have went up that way with that kind of an attitude, she'd have never gotten nothing from him. But her attitude toward the man of God produced exactly what she got, her victory, because she believed. That's the only way that you'll ever do it. If you believe that Jesus Christ is some mystical or mythical story like Santa Claus, you know, affair that they tell the children or something like that, then you'll never get nothing until truly in your heart that you believe that He's the Son of God. He died and rose again. He ascended on high and He's living with us right here tonight and will do anything that He promised that He would do in this Bible. When you get like that, something's fixing to happen. Then she packed up the baby and she bowed before him. And she recognized him to be a servant of God, and she bowed her head and went out. And went out with her heart full of faith, of love. All the great crisis. That she just stood still and said, well, all hope is gone. The doctor just left and said there's nothing could be done. Now my baby's dead, so I suppose that's all that can be done. She said, helpless. Well, the story would have been never told. If no faith had ever come into her heart, it would have been just it would have it would it wouldn't have been that way. But God, in His mercy, placed something in that mother's heart that she knew that there was something that could be done. Now, you may be sitting like that tonight in your family. Maybe every hope that you've ever had, that you've had, or ever getting well, the doctors discourage you. The man has done all that he can do, and he said it's past medical science. There's nothing can be done. But if something can just happen down here in his heart that tells you, yes it is, then stay right with it. You see the difference? It's the attitude. How do you expect to get anything from God if you don't approach with the right attitude? In Romans 4 and verse 18, just a few scriptures will close. Sorry to keep you so long. In Romans 4 and verse 18, we'll lighten up tomorrow for you. 4:18. Who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to do. That's an attitude problem. Not a problem. That's the right attitude. The right mental attitude. You see, the right mental attitude will do something. It'll produce something for you. Y'all want victory? Got to have the right attitude. It's not just saying in your mind, oh, I know God can do it. It's showing it in your body, God can do it. It's your body language. Like I said last Sunday, you know, the guy talking this way or the guy talking this way. You know, your body expresses things. And so it does to God. You lay in your back, oh God, I pray for my kids. I just don't know. Or are you on your knees, crying out to God? Your body expresses something. You see? The importance of it. Titus 2 and verse 13. Titus 2 verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious what? Appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God. The appearing. Not the coming. He's not talking about the coming here. The appearing. And every man that has his hope in Him. What is the hope of His promise? What is the promise of His appearing? All things continue. You see the attitude? All things continue as they did from the beginning. How about 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19? Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 2. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 19. For what is our hope? What is our earnest expectation or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His parousia? Now, let me ask you something, Rhonda. If you're happy, do you go around with a frown? And if you're excited and you're full of joy, what happens? Yeah, and what else? Sometimes you giggle. Sometimes, you just can't help it, but you got to tell somebody. It expresses, I mean, your body exudes. Your body expresses joy. Now, the great God and Savior is here. How could we go around with a frown? How could we go around with a quandary? How can we not expect God to save our kids? He gave you a token. If you got a token to get on that bus, nobody can keep you off. If you got a token for your family, how dare anyone prevent you from turning that token in for those kids? You understand what I'm saying? There's an expression God's waiting for. An expression. God, I know it. I know what you did for me, and I'm applying that same thing for my son, my daughter. And I'm expecting God for you to do the same thing. And I'm excited because every day, if it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. And it will. And it will. Galatians 5 and verse 5. And just one more and we'll close. Galatians 5 and verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait for the hope of right wiseness by faith. Now remember, the Bible says, he that doeth right is righteous. He that doeth right, he that expresses what right is righteous. You see, it all comes out in the expression. And finally, Romans 5 and verse 5. Romans 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, if hope in the natural maketh not ashamed, now look, when I was courting my wife, she don't like me to talk about these things, but I'll just say, when I was courting her, I remember one time I had to walk in from the highway, which is about a mile. I think it's about a mile and a half, a mile. Drifts of snow that were up to my waist. I brought snowshoes. I wasn't going to let the devil keep me away from my girl. I walked to the house with snowshoes on. And I had snowmobile boots on. Now, they're not exactly the thing you want to wear when you go out on a date. But I didn't care. Hope, earnest expectation, maketh not ashamed. Just so I could see her. I wasn't ashamed to wear snowmobile boots and snowshoes, because I wanted to see her. Hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, hope doesn't look to the who's going to see me. Hope only looks to the one object of the affection. Doesn't care about anything else. And that, let this attitude, which was in Christ, be in you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Father, for your word, for opening these things up to us so that we can understand the process of the doxa entering into the molecules of the body, to take over the body, to express our love, our admiration, our respect and reverence toward you, and our humility, and yet, Father, our excitement and our joy that you are here in You're moving us more and more and more, Father, into a transformation that's taking place because the body is reflecting the soul. The body is reflecting the earnest expectation. And so, Father, we just pray that we consummate one of these days soon with a complete body change, every fiber of our body renewed. And now we just commit our thoughts to Thee. We commit the rest of this service, the breaking of bread and the communion. We commit it unto Thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen.